from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Sending off Indonesian counting as President Joko Widodo is optimistic Indonesia will gain the targeted medals. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked for ICE to encourage Indonesian economic growth. Now, the news in details. President Joko Widodo officially sent off Indonesian contingents for the 18 Asian Games to be held in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra, at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. During his speech, President Joko Widodo pointed out that the athletes that will take part in the competition are the selected Indonesian generations and represent 260 millions of Indonesian people. He admitted that he has witnessed the athletes practicing in order to prepare themselves for the upcoming 18 Asian Games. President Joko Widodo is optimistic that the athletes will be able to accomplish 16 targeted gold medals and become one of the top 10 countries which collect the most medals in the Asian Games.
I know that these athletes who are supported by coaches and officials have practiced very long and worked intensely for the event. I firmly believe by God's willing that we can achieve gold medals as many as we can. The target has been clearly told by coordinating minister that we will become one of the top 10 countries with the most medal achievements. The target for gold medals is also very specific. We will grab 16 gold medals at least. This means that we highly appreciate if the athletes can contribute more medals, but if the quantity is fewer than one, it is not allowed.
About 1,383 members of Indonesian contingent were officially sent off by President Joko Widodo. The number consists of 938 athletes, 365 officials, and 80 headquarters. The team will contest in 40 sport categories in 67 disciplines and 465 matches in order to grab 465 gold medals. The 2018 Asian Games will start on 18 August 2018. However, since August the 10th, the preliminary round for football category has been carried out. Indonesia will compete on August the 12th, 2018, against Taiwan at the Patriot Chandra Braga Stadium, Bekasi, West Java. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked for all members of League of Indonesian Economic Scholars, ICA, to help economic growth in Indonesia based on their roles, both as economists, academicians, bureaucrats, and professionals. The four professions endowed by ICA can bring about changes both in the state, private policy, and joint advance. The combination can also bring ICE to play a major role for national economy. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Yusuf Kalla on his key speech at the 20th Congress of ICE in Bandung, West Java on Wednesday evening said that overall, the economic growth in Indonesia achieved 5.17% and it is still in the mid position compared with other developing countries. To boost economic growth, he affirmed that it's necessary to increase the productivity in many sectors. One of the major sectors is to increase food production. At the 51st anniversary of ASEAN in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that ASEAN will keep on giving its contribution to create global environment peacefully and stably through centrality. She believed that through centrality possessed by ASEAN, it can bring all the members to bring forward and grow faster.
Bahwa ASEAN itu berkontribusi banyak di dalam penciptaan atau menciptakan environment
that
yang
ASEAN contributes
stabil.
In creating peace and stable environment, and it can be felt that we talk about at East Asia Summit Conference. Clearly, almost all the countries keep supporting toward the centrality of ASEAN, even in developing the concept of Indo-Pacific. Obviously, by the centrality, we can grow rapidly. I sat at the forum that the centrality of ASEAN is supported and approved by many parties and all of our partners. So the important thing is to keep about unity of ASEAN.
Diakui oleh banyak pihak, semua partner kita, maka yang penting untuk menjaga itu antara lain adalah mengenai unity of ASEAN.
Moreover, Minister Retno Marsudi also said that ASEAN has changed Southeast region from the conflicting area to be friendly area, from poverty area to be an area with full of opportunity, and from unstable zone to be an area with peaceful, stable and prosperous ecosystem. Based on the outside achievement, ASEAN received criticism because it is assumed to be slow or even it fails in facing global challenge in the region, which can change rapidly. However, the criticism accepted by ASEAN is constructive to make the regional organizations better. Deputy of Family, Women, Children, Youth and Sport at the National Development Planning Agency, Worosri Hastuti Sulistianingrum, said in Jakarta that Indonesia has accomplished significant results in the gender-based development. She stated that women in Indonesia have positive contribution to support more equal development in various aspects in Indonesia. Woro also explained that women in Indonesia have broader access to education in various levels. Furthermore, the number of women's unemployment in Indonesia has decreased significantly over the past 10 years. She assessed that women have contributed to improve the workers' income towards the state revenue of Indonesia.
Indonesia has significant achievement of the gender-based development in various sectors. It can be seen from the decreasing number of poor people from 11.13% in September 2015 to 9.82% in March 2018. In addition, women have broader access to educational services. This achievement can be witnessed from the high participation of women in various education levels, from elementary, junior high school to senior high school. However, progress is clearly identified in the economic sector, as there are a number of developments in the economic sector and level. The rate of women's employment in Indonesia has reached 50.89%. The open unemployment of women relatively fell for a half from 9.69% in 2008 to 5.44% in 2017. There has been improvement in the female workers' income towards the state revenue of Indonesia over the past 5 years, which was 34.16% in 2011 to 36.4% in 2016.
Furthermore, Worosri Hastuti also stated that the participation of women in politics has increased. It is proven by the rising proportions of women in the National Legislative Assembly during the general election since 2004 to 2014. Gender equality is one of the points that must be achieved in the Sustainable Development Goals. Ward also remarked that the gender equality has a major contribution to support the efforts of Indonesia in a bid to achieve the SDG by the participation of women in the development, both as the actors and as the receiver of the development's benefits. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Government of Myanmar, through Advisor of National Security Agency, explores the cooperation with Indonesian National Police, Polri, related to community policing. The community to be recruited as police personnel is partnership between the police and the community to identify the problem of violation and crime by involving the whole elements of the people who look for the solution for the problems. This was stated by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi after holding a meeting with Myanmar Advisor of National Security Agency Thong Thun in Jakarta on Wednesday. Minister Retno added that the government of Myanmar wants to study Indonesia's experience in doing the community police in a friendly way and in carrying the duties with the community.
Ada hal lain yang juga mereka sampaikan pentingnya kerjasama, yaitu untuk meningkatkan
experience which can be shared to
policy.
Myanmar about
jadi,
how to carry out the duties in a friendly way to
memiliki
the community and others.
Yang dapat
so there was
Myanmar,
a meeting between Myanmar Advisor of National Security Agency and Chief of Indonesian National Police yesterday to explore
lain.
The community.
Jadi ada pertemuan antara NSA dengan Kapolri kemarin untuk menjajaki community policy.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said that besides exploring the cooperation in police, the government of Myanmar also asked Indonesia to contribute more in recovery of humanitarian crisis, which had deteriorated and targeted the Rohingya's ethnic minority. One of the contributions was to push the economy in Rakhine State through the economic activity, such as investment. Because the economic activity is considered capable to give continuous guarantee for the people who live there. Minister Retno Marsudi added that Myanmar's request is being probed by Indonesian government. Myanmar government is ready to give tax holiday, reduction or removal of temporary tax income to Indonesian business people who invest in Myanmar. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of Myanmar Investment, U Thong Thun, after meeting with Chairman of Indonesia Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Roland Abdul Ghani said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the government is ready to provide tax incentive, such tax holiday and ease to do business and get license to Indonesian business people. U Thong Thun explained that Myanmar has carried out some reform in the fields of politics, law and economy. The government gives law guarantee, transparency and certainty for Indonesian business people who invest in Myanmar. For those who want to invest in Myanmar, they can register online so that the process of making license is effective. The government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Trade, is seriously trying to open up new export markets to anticipate the protections of the United States and the trade war between the United States of America and China. Those ministers of trade, Enggar Tiasto explores that the acceleration of various trade partnerships with other countries, especially Australia, Tunisia, Mozambique, and Morocco. In addition, a team of the Director General at the Ministry of Trade is currently departing for Japan to conduct an overview of cooperation with the country. According to Antara News Agency report, Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said in Surabaya is Java on Wednesday that he is optimistic that he generalized system of preference for 124 Indonesian products exported to the United States would not be revoked after he negotiated with the U.S. Trade Representative Robert E. Lighthizer. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Solving the Transportation of Indonesia. Well, listener, Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world, has 262 million people spreading across the island in Indonesia. In the distribution of population, Java Island is the most populous one. The denser the population in area is, the more problems arise in the community. One of the problems experienced by densely populated area is the transportation system. One of the transportation problems experienced by Indonesia is the lack of public transportation services. Public transportation in Indonesia is not equipped with adequate facilities. This condition makes people feel uncomfortable with the service offered by the public transportation. These conditions make people prefer to use personal motor vehicles instead of using public ones. On the one hand, the personal motor vehicles offer flexible movement for city residents. Take, for example, motorbikes as a personal motor vehicle, might even have the advantage of low operational costs. On the other hand, the dependence on the personal motor vehicles ultimately leads to an increase in congestion in big cities, especially in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi. Congestion causes economic losses. In these cities, the losses due to the transportation sector problems such as congestion have eliminated the potential for higher economic growth. According to World Bank, the people of Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi generally spend a minimum of 3.5 hours in the traffic. The economic value loss in 1 year is equal to 39.9 trillion rupiah because of the wasted time. If used for productive activities in 1 year, this can earn income to the city up to $3 billion or 39.9 trillion rupiah. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said on Wednesday that bus transportation must become the favorite transportation mode for Indonesian people. He said we'll make improvements and enhance the bus services to make it again a favorite transportation mode for Indonesian people. He also emphasized the need for integration of public transportation that combines modes of land transportation with other modes such as integrated port, airport, and train modes. In addition, to solve the national transportation problem is to encourage the adoption of draft law on the national transportation system, which is currently in the national legislation program in the House of Representatives (DPR). The absence of a national transportation system policy has caused transportation policies, including infrastructure development, to be carried out partially. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on August 9, 1999, when Iran and England signed an agreement. On August 9, 1919, England and Iran, which was represented by Iranian Prime Minister Wasagut Daulah and English Foreign Minister Lord Curzon, signed an agreement. Based on the agreement, this was well known with the name 1919 Agreement. Iranian economic, military, and political affairs under the supervisor of English official. England enforced the agreement against Iran after revolution happened in Russia, which caused the country retreated from the competitive arena of colonialism. But Iranian people and international community opposed the agreement. Finally, the agreement was cancelled. 1.5 years later, England manipulated COP date, which made Reza Khan be Shah Iran. Through Reza Khan, England continues power on Iran. And the next event is that in 1945, Nagasaki was bombed by United States of America. On August 9, 1945, 3 days after atomic bomb explosion in Hiroshima, the United States dropped again atomic bomb on Nagasaki, ordered by U.S. President, the then Harry Truman. Instantly, Nagasaki was destroyed and 80,000 people were killed. The impact of the radioactive of the bomb also added the number of victims. The U.S. goal in the bomb attack was to defeat Japan totally and show the power of the U.S. in the world. 6 days after the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki on August 15, Japan surrendered unconditionally to Allies and signed instrument of surrender on September 2, which officially ended the Pacific War and World War II. And the last event is that in 1965, Singapore separated itself from Malaysian Federation. In 1819, by Johor administration of Malaysia, Singapore was handed over to East India Company belonging to England. On February 15, 1942, Singapore was occupied by Japan. When Japan surrendered to Allies in 1945, Japan got out from Singapore and the country became English colony. In 1963, by the establishment of Malaysian Federation, Singapore became part of the Federation. But on August 9, 1965, Singapore separated itself from Malaysia and officially got its dignity. Yusof bin Ishak was sworn as president and Lim Kuan Yew became the first prime minister of Republic of Singapore. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic about the Environment Department of Jakarta provide air quality monitoring device at the Asian Games venue. The Environment Department of Jakarta Special Region operates the mobile air quality monitoring station to monitor the air quality at a number of 2018 Asian Games venues in Jakarta. Head of the Environment Department of Jakarta is Nawa Aji said to TribunJakarta.com on Monday, August 6, that the mobile air quality monitoring station has been positioned at the athlete's lodging in Kemayoran since August 2 to August 17, 2018. Previously, the device was placed at the Pulau Mas Horse Riding Arena and the Pondok Indah Golf Club for a week for each venue. Isnawa explained that the device will produce data for the 2.5 parameter carbon monoxide, CO, nitrogen, ozone, sulfur dioxide, and meteorological data. After having been collected, the data will be processed by the server and the technical management unit of the local environment laboratory, environment department, and informed as the Air Pollution Standard Index. According to Isnawa, the index depicts the condition of ambient air quality at particular locations that is based on the impacts of the health of humans and environment. Isnawa Aji said, if the value of the Air Pollution Standard Index ranges from 0 to 50, the air quality is considered as good. It means that the condition will not bring about negative impacts for humans and animals' health. Meanwhile, if the value of the index ranges from 51 to 100, the air quality is categorized as moderate, meaning that the condition does not affect humans and animals' health. Yet, vulnerable plants can be induced by the condition. Furthermore, if the index ranges from 101 to 199, the air quality is regarded unhealthy. The poor air quality can harm humans and vulnerable animals, as well as bring forth destruction to plantations and other aesthetic values. Aji further explained that the index of 200 to 299 is categorized as very unhealthy. Namely, the air quality at this point can harm the health of several population segments which are exposed to the pollutants. In addition, the index of 300 to 500 is considered as hazardous, meaning that the hazardous air quality can result in serious health effects for the population. For example, irritation on eyes, cough, phlegm, and sore throat. The result of the Air Pollution Standard Index is routinely informed to the society every day starting from 3 p.m. Indonesia time through a display board of the local Environmental Laboratory of Jakarta, Jakarta Smart City website, and the website of the Jakarta Chapter Environment Department. Besides the mobile air quality monitoring station, the Environment Department of Jakarta also operates 5 units of fixed mobile air quality monitoring station spread in Bundaran Hotel Indonesia or Hotel Indonesia Square, Kelapa Gading, Jagakarsa, Lubang Buaya, and Kebon Jeruk. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry also provides air quality monitoring device around the area of the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium to monitor the air quality in the capital city during the implementation of the 2018 Asian Games. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked for all members of League of Indonesian Economic Scholars, ICA, to help economic growth in Indonesia based on their roles, both as economists, academicians, bureaucrats, and professionals. Myanmar government is ready to give tax holiday reduction or removal of temporary tax income to Indonesian business people who invest in Myanmar. The government of Indonesia, through the Ministry of Trade, is seriously trying to open up new export markets to anticipate the protections of the United States and the trade war between the United States of America and China. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu.
Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema.
Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
Show the world you're as bright as the sun.
We deserve to be the one, and fight your fears, come on.
Don't waste your time.
Show!
listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Larap Tourism Village in Magelang, Central Java. Stay tuned. Listener, a tourism village festival was held in Supardi Field, Sawitan Subdistrict, Mungkid, Magelang Regency on July 24 to 25. In the event, 33 regencies in Central Java sent representatives of tourism villages to introduce the potential of tourism villages in each district or city. Central Java province has 147 verified tourism villages. From 147 tourism villages, there are 5 leading tourist villages have been prepared as tourist destination of domestic and foreign tourists. One of the tourist objects that will be introduced in today's segment, namely Larap Tourism Village. Larap Tourism Village, located in West Ungaran Subdistrict, Semarang, Central Java, close to Ungaran Regency, and only takes 40 minutes from the center of Semarang. The 682 hectares village consisted of 7 hamlets, namely Indrokilo, Larap, Soka, Tegal Rejo, Lorok, Karangbolo, and Mapagan. It is mostly hilly area with highland topography. Larap Tourism Village has an extraordinary beauty. The Ungaran mountain view clearly seen from the region. The region have cool air with a few dense trees. Larap Tourism Village has also abundant natural potential, such as waterfall, rice field, beautiful natural scenery, and abundant biodiversity. Listener, if you visit Larap Tourism Village, various interesting tourism activities are awaiting for you. Here you can learn and feel directly how to process pure milk into various processed foods. You can also learn how to process coffee, fruits, biogas, and other types of agrotourism. The attraction of tourism objects is no less interesting. There are Indrokilo Waterfall, Watu Gunung Natural Swimming Pool, Embong Larap, and many others. Listener, Larap Village also has art-based cultural tourism, such as Larap Art Village. The main building of Larap Art Village is Limasan with 2 floors. In addition, the building is usually used as a museum to store equipments, for example glasses, plates and jars. Inside the art village, there is also a theater above a long bridge. There is also Watu Gunung, a tourist village area containing artistic values. Watu Gunung is a tourism spot that has several old joglo buildings with an artificial lake concept. The situation is cool and comfortable since you can see Mount Ungaran clearly. If you want to spend the night, there are available homestays to accommodate dozens of people. The object has also been completed by souvenir shops and restaurants. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Larap Tourism Village. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English. I, ntrica, ntrica, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, moghot, moghot, in English. Mount, recau, recau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English. I eat popeda. Rora ntrica mogot recau. Rora ntrica mogot recau. In English. Yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which presents Indonesian music to you, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will dedicate some nostalgic pop songs from Iwan Fals. To initiate the segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Sarjana Muda. Enjoy the song.
Jalan seorang pria muda dengan jaket lusuh di pundaknya, di sela bibir tampak mengering terselip sebatang rumput liar. Jelas mana wajah murung semakin terlihat. Dengan langkah kontai tak terarah, keringat bercampur debu jalanan. Engkau sarjana muda, resah mencari kerja, mengandalkan ijazahmu. 4 tahun lamanya bergelut dengan buku untuk jaminan masa depan. Langkah kakimu terhenti di depan halaman sebuah jalan. Bergelut dengan buku, siap
sia-sia semuanya.
Setengah putus asa, dia berucap, "Maaf, Ibu."
Iwan Fals began his career in the Indonesian music industry since 1975. Nowadays, Iwan Fals has become one of the renowned singers that engraved his name as a musical legendary in Indonesia with nuances of ballad, pop, rock, and country. The song Sarjana Muda that you've just listened to, expanding his popularity in the Indonesian music industry. This phenomenal song is one of the songs from Iwan Fals' professional album, released on September 1981. The album consisted of 10 songs. The song Sarjana Muda tells a story about a young man who just graduated from university with a certificate of diploma, which he acquired after completing his study. The young man endeavors to find a proper job. Despite of having tried to find a job anywhere, he still cannot find any job at all. The song depicts the story of a young man who only pursues his study in order to merely gain high marks, but not to absorb the knowledge that he received from his education. Listener, let us listen to the second song of Iwan Fals, entitled Umar Bakri, from the album Sarjana Muda. Happy listening.
Tas hitam dari kulit buaya. Selamat pagi, berkata Bapak Umar Bakri. Ini hari aku rasa kopi nikmat sekali. Tas hitam dari kulit buaya, mari kita pergi memberi pelajaran ilmu. Pasti itu murid bengamu mungkin sedang menunggu. Laju sepeda kumbang di jalan berlubang, selalu begitu dari dulu waktu zaman Jepang. Terkejut dia waktu mau masuk pintu gerbang, banyak polisi bawa senjata berwajah garang. Bapak Umar Bakri kaget apa gerangan, berkelahi pak jawab murid seperti jagoan. Bapak Umar Bakri takut bukan kepala, itu sepeda butut dikebut lalu cabut kalang kabut cepat pulang. Buset, standing dan terbang. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, pegawai negeri. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, 40 tahun mengabdi. Jadi guru jujur berbakti memang makan hati. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, banyak ciptakan menteri. Umar Bakri, profesor, dokter, insinyur menjadi. Tapi mengapa gaji guru Umar Bakri seperti dikafiri? Di jalan berlubang selalu begitu dari dulu waktu zaman Jepang. Terkejut dia waktu mau masuk pintu gerbang, banyak polisi bawa senjata berwajah garang.
Bapak Umar Bakri takut apa gerangan, berkelahi pak jawab murid seperti jagoan.
Bapak Umar Bakri takut bukan kepala, itu sepeda butut dikepur lalu cabut kalang kabut. Bakri kentut cepat pulang.
Omar Bakri, pegawai negeri. Omar Bakri, 40 tahun mengabdi. Jadi guru jujur berbakti, memang makan hati. Omar Bakri, banyak ciptakan menteri. Omar Bakri, bikin otak orang seperti otak Habibie. Tapi mengapa gaji guru Omar Bakri seperti dikebiri? Bakri, Bakri, siapa nama tuh jadi orang gawat.
You've just listened to the song Omar Bakri by Iwan Fals. The song is one of the leading songs from the album entitled Sarjana Muda. The song was incredibly famous. Therefore, it was crowned as one of the 150 best Indonesian songs of all time, based on the Rolling Stones Indonesia magazine's version. The song Omar Bakri tells the story of an honest and intelligent teacher that he is able to produce many prosperous figures in the country. Despite of his previous contributions, he did not get appropriate reward for his achievements. The song Omar Bakri performed by Iwan Fals employs the Dixieland element, that is an element of the jazz music known to be the early version of jazz. The Dixieland element was a product of Iwan Fals' collaboration with a reputable Indonesian violinist, Idris Sardi. Listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner, we will present you the two songs entitled Bento and Ku Menanti Seorang Kekasih. Happy listening and see you on the next edition of Music Corner.
Namaku Bento, rumah real estate, mobilku banyak, harta berlimpah. Orang memanggilku bos eksekutif, tokoh papan atas, atas skalanya
asik.
Wajahku ganteng, banyak simpanan, sekali lirik bisa jalan, bisnisku menjagal, jagal apa saja yang penting aku senang, aku menang, persetan orang susah karena aku yang penting asik.
Oh!
apa saja yang penting aku senang, aku menang. Persetan orang susah karena aku yang penting asik.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.